And do me a favor. Stop what you're doing, unless you're driving or performing some other sort of thing that requires your utmost concentration. Other than that, stop it. I can see you. Stop what you're doing and look down at your feet. I want you to think about what you have done for them lately. That's right. Your feet now have a theme tune. How about that? Yeah. Happy Tuesday. Someone who's always thinking about feet and what to do for them and what you can do for your own feet is Dr. Peter Tehan, a clinician and researcher, podiatrist at the Hunter Medical Research Institute. She doesn't just stop at feet, though. Podiatrists look at everything from the hips down. Good morning.
Good morning.
How often do you think about feet?
Well, I think of feet all the time.
Do we not pay enough attention to this part of our body on a whole?
No.
She says standing in high heels.
No, never. And that's often we see patients in our clinic who have left it too long. And their feet are killing them, basically. And they have just waited so long and they've put up with this foot pain and then they finally decide to do something about it. So what are
the big issues that we can see with our, the big health issues that we see with our feet? Because I think a lot of people maybe think diabetes straight away and that can affect our feet. But are there feet problems that then affect the rest of us from the bottom up?
Yeah, absolutely. So my research is really looking at the arteries in our legs and feet. So it's interesting you just had Bonnie on of talking about smoking, actually, because smoking is one of the biggest causes of peripheral artery disease in the legs and feet.
Right.
So my research is all about how to detect that early so that we can put in interventions to slow it down or stop it from happening or progressing.
So it's all about that blood flow, right? That's when our feet suffer most, when maybe the blood flow to the extremities isn't as good as it should be?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of when we see the worst outcomes possible. It can start just as pain when we get a blockage in one of our arteries. So that's just the build-up of plaque, similar to what we get in our heart disease. When you hear about heart disease, it's the same process essentially, but it happens in your legs and feet. And that can lead to, in its worst stages, you know, wounds and amputation ultimately.
Yeah, and that's all like loss of feeling?
Yeah, so that's a slightly different thing, but that can also happen. So we can get a loss of feeling when our nerves are affected. That can happen in diabetes in particular, but it also happens in a large number of other conditions as well.
And I'm right in saying that this peripheral artery disease is what it's called, is symptom-free, which makes it hard to identify?
Yeah, so in about half of all cases, there's absolutely no symptoms. So that's what makes it quite difficult to pick up. So what podiatrists try to do is assess people when we know they're at risk of the condition. So rather than sort of waiting for symptoms to show up, we'll get ahead of the ball and say, okay, well, you're 65 and you've got diabetes and you're in my chair for, you know, your ingrown toenail or something else, but I'm going to actually assess your blood flow. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Is there a way to prevent it? Can we be ahead of it now, especially if it is affecting older Australians?
Yeah. So things like exercise, not smoking, dietary changes, so keeping a healthy diet, low in saturated fat and things like that can all help. But there's also things like pharmaceutical therapy and when things do progress, there's surgical options as well.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, running some other tests while you've got someone in a chair. Are there tests already developed for this or is that some of the work that you're doing?
So there's a big range of tests and basically when I started out researching, you know, 6-7 years ago, we didn't really know what worked best. So all of my research has been designed around, okay, what tests are the best for us to use? What are our best chances of identifying this in someone at risk? And then how do we as podiatrists interpret those tests and move on and make action and plan for these people?
So what do those new tests look like that you've managed to create?
Well, I haven't created any tests, but I've been assessing
altered,
them. Yes. So one of the tests I've been particularly interested in is called a toe pressure test. So, you know, when you go to the GP, you'll have your brachial pressure tested. They wrap the big cuff around and have a listen and they'll say, oh, your blood pressure's 120 on 80. Perfect, off you go.
And you say, hang on, wait, is that good? What number needs to be what? And then you go home and you Google it because you can never remember.
So what we have is a teeny tiny little miniature cuff that we wrap around someone's big toe, and we have a different type of probe which uses infrared light, and that gives us a pressure as well. So that can help us determine how much blood flow is getting down to your feet compared to your arm.
Yeah, so it's almost it tightens on your toe, the same sort of thing.
Yeah, it blows up. It's, yeah, I know. People get so excited when I wrap it around it. And they go, "Oh,
it's a
cute
little version." It feels like something that should be in a toy hospital, like
yes,
a doll's house.
Precisely. Yeah.
Is that what you have in front of you?
No. So this is another test. So I've brought along my little Doppler unit, which a Doppler just uses sound. And what we do with our Doppler, so I'll just set it up, is we put it on people's feet and we listen to their.
Putting the cold gel on her arm right now.
My gel on. Yeah. It's very cold.
You were meant to warn yourself.
I know. Yeah. And what we do is we just have a listen to the pulse, and that can give us an idea. Sorry, I'll just.
That's not a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's your pulse in the crook of your elbow
right now.
That's
in my elbow. It's a bit awkward to do it on my foot while standing, but this is exactly what we would do in someone's foot, and that tells us about the health of the artery.
So that's
the whole leg.
That's telling you how your heart's beating and how the blood is flowing. Is that what you're getting from that sound?
Yeah, precisely. And it also tells us if there's disease in the artery, how elastic the artery is, because sometimes the arteries lose their elasticity, which can have consequences as well.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Just going to pass you a tissue.
Thank
to get
you.
That. And so that is helping us just get that sense of how blood is flowing to the feet and whether there might be a problem that then needs to be looked at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if there's no symptoms.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we take better care of our feet? I know as a podiatrist you're always going to say, absolutely. What does that look like?
Well, I think people neglect their feet until something happens. And, you know, if you've got foot pain, you can see it on your face because you can't escape it. So I think footwear is one of the things that I speak about most as a podiatrist. So I'll spend half of my day talking to people about footwear choices. So I think certainly footwear is the main thing that I would suggest. And
I haven't seen your shoes. Men and women?
Oh, absolutely. I think especially men in the business world, they tend to wear, you know, tight Oxford style narrow-toed shoes.
Look great.
Look fantastic, but so making sure the shoe is fit for purpose and that it fits well, because often what I see in a lot of older people is they'll say, but I've been a size 6 my whole life, and your feet do change over time, and they change shape, they change size.
It's the first place I lose weight from.
So, you know, when people are pregnant, their shoe size can change by up to a whole size.
Really?
And it can stay like that.
It may not go back.
Sometimes it goes back, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. So just making sure your shoes fit properly. And, you know, obviously with different brands, there's different sizing and things like that. But natural materials as well. So leather is a really good choice because it does stretch and accommodate for our lumps and bumps and things. And heels, if you're going to wear heels, avoiding heels greater than 2.5 centimetres.
Not today.
Looking down at you.
But that's okay. There was a conversation that I was involved in last week that said, oh, I wore these great heels, but I couldn't feel my toes for 3 days afterwards. Probably a bad sign, right?
Yeah. So that can happen. That's reasonably common, actually. So when shoes compress the front of your foot, there's a lot of nerves that run between all the toes and bones in your foot, and they can get compressed. So you can get a little nerve injury that can cause numbness, tingling, all sorts of things. Yeah.
Can that be long term? Like, should those shoes go to Vinnie's?
I think so. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm also a woman, and if they look fabulous, maybe short periods only.
Have some flats always in the bag ready to go.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, your last message. Why should we pay a little bit more attention to our feet like we do with other parts of our body?
Well, I mean, you only get one pair, right? And we need them. They're so important. I think they say we walk around the world 3 or 4 times in our lifetime. So they need to be ready up to go at any point in time. Yeah.
Peter, really great to chat with you today. Thank you so much for coming
in.
You're
welcome.
From the Hunter Medical Research Institute, that is Peter Tian there, research podiatrist and clinician, talking about your feet.